And we've been preaching through the Gospel of Luke, if you're familiar with that and been with us. We're in chapter 8. The last sermon I preached, we talked about how Jesus calmed the storm. And we saw that Jesus had the power over nature. Well, today, we're going to look at how Jesus has the power over evil. And Reed looked at this passage last week, and this passage is very powerful. It's one that the kids are familiar with. I understand the children have gone over this passage of Scripture recently in their studies. My kids have the Jesus, the Bible app for Jesus, Bible Stories for Jesus, I forget what it's called exactly, but they have a beautiful illustration of this story, and they retell the story on that app, and my kids love it, and it's one of their favorite ones to pick. But in chapter 8 of Luke, we're going to look at Jesus having the power over evil. Beginning in chapter 8, verse 26, the Bible says, "Now remember, they were in the boat. Jesus calmed the storm as they were in the boat." Chapter 8, verse 26, it says, "Then they sailed to the country of Gerasenes, which is opposite of Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out of on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes. He had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, 'What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Legion,' for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank and into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw what happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, 'Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you.' And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him." So in this passage of Scripture, we see the power of Jesus at work. We see it in a mighty way. This is an overwhelming story for some of us. We can't really relate to this. We can't really understand this because we don't really realize what is happening and taking place. But there's a man who's a crazy man who is naked and in the graveyard, and he's so wild and crazy and out of control that they tried to restrain him with shackles and chains. But yet he was such a strong and powerful man, an obsessed man, that he could break those chains. So Jesus is going to confront this man and deal with this man and bring some hope to this city and some hope to this community and set them free from the power of evil. So this morning, there's three aspects to the power of Jesus that I would like us to see this morning, especially pertaining to evil. First of all, the power to destroy. Jesus has the power to destroy. Let's just think about this man for a moment. He was possessed by demons. It tells us clearly that it wasn't just a demon, but a legion of demons that had taken over him. They attempted to control him. The man had experienced some very things that are uncommon to most of us. But we see some of these elements and these effects still in today's society. But think about this with me. The man was dehumanized. This man became an animal-like. He was ravaged. He was angry. He was driven to the desert. He would be like somebody would think of hollowing at the moon at night. This man was possessed by something that wasn't natural. And though he was a human being, though he was a person, he became very animalized in his aggression and in his anger. People were afraid of him. They feared him. They tried to lock him up. The Bible tells us that the man had no clothes on. He was shamed. He was naked. He was dangerous to others. So dangerous that they had to lock him up. So here you have a man who's dehumanized, acting like an animal. He was dangerous to others. He was people would have to refrain or restrain him to keep him from their families and from their children. But the shame, this man was wearing no clothes. And this imagery comes to us from Adam and Eve and in the garden. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned and they hid themselves from God? For the first time, they realized that they were naked. And so they hid themselves from God, the Bible says. When we allow sin to reign and rule and control us and live in our lives, there's a sense of shame that overtakes us and overpowers us. The demons very obviously recognized who Jesus was. Now we know in other places like James chapter 2, verse 19, it tells us that the demons feared God and trembled. But here, they knew immediately who Jesus was. And throughout the scriptures, places like John 10, the Bible tells us that this Satan comes in verse 10 to devour and to destroy and to kill. In 1 Peter 5:8, it tells us that he comes like a roaring lion to seek and to destroy us. But these demons were real. And we can know demons and Satan to be real and powerful. But Jesus is far more powerful. It's been said, as one commentator laid it out, he said, demons indwelling their victims, and they were taking control of their minds, their bodies, and their voices. You could see through this story that this demon would speak through this human being. You can see that this man was crazy, and the demons were overtaking him by his actions and the things that he was doing. You could see that this man was not in control of himself or under the control of the work of God, but he was in opposition to God. Now, we have a family dog, and I was not a big fan of getting a dog. I know I state that every time I tell a story about our dog. But when you have four kids that want a dog and a wife that wants a dog, what's a man to do, right? He's to fight as long as he can, and I battled 12 hard years, and we were dog-free for most of that time. And that reign and rule has come to an end. But anyway, this dog is, I was number 6 on the list of his favorite. I am creeping up there. I'm like 3rd now, maybe even 2nd, because I think he likes me a little bit more than my wife. But we're working on that. This dog is really, he was housebroken when we got him. He's a German Shepherd. He's a nice, friendly dog. He'll lick you. He'll sniff you. He'll wag his tail, and he'll want you to throw a ball. He can fetch. He can sit. He can lay down. He's 5 years old. That's part of my genius nature of getting a dog. He's 5. Most dogs live to 12. My daughter will be going off to college in 7 years. You do the math, figure all that out. But long story short, this dog has become really a part of our family. And we like everything about him. He's housebroken. He's friendly to the kids. He plays in the yard. But this dog has one thing that we do not like about him. We've put a fence up in the yard so he can't get out. And when he's inside that fence, it is the most beautiful thing. He won't try to get out. He will play ball. He'll sit. He'll lay out there all day long if you let him. He loves being outside. But the moment he sees an opportunity to get outside of that parameter, that dog is gone. The other day, my wife was, we have a side door to our garage. I had the main garage door open. And the only way he can come in and out of that garage through the side door, he came in and just ran right by me and took off. And we called his name, and the more I called his name, the farther he ran. This dog won't listen once he's outside his parameter. Inside the parameters, he's beautiful, well-trained, listens, loves to play fetch, will lick you to death. But as soon as he's gone, this dog gets a mind of his own. It's like he's possessed. And he's gone, and he takes off, and he'll run. Now, the problem I have with that, other than running through the neighbor's yard like he did the other day and chased a cat up a tree, that's just nature, right? Dogs beat cats all the time. That's just part of life. But the fear that I have is the highway. Because I don't want to pick up my kids from school and have to tell them that their dog no longer exists. Because then guess what happens? We have to get another dog. We don't want that. We got a good dog. We like the dog we have. This dog has a mind of his own, and we've chased him down Route 20. And the more we chase him, the farther he seems to go. But eventually, if you can coerce him and get the car door open, say you want to go for a ride in the car, he loves that, and he'll jump in the car and we can get him home. But not until he's ready. This dog's got a mind of his own and just goes crazy. But inside the parameters of the yard, inside the safety of our home, an amazing dog. Put him out on the outside, and he is absolutely out of control. You realize this man who was demon-possessed allowed the demons to control him and the devil to have power in his life, and that drove him like a wild, crazy dog running all over the place. But when this man put himself under the authority of Jesus and under the parameters and the safety of a relationship with God, this man's life was transformed and changed by the power of Jesus. Jesus was able to destroy the evil in this man's life. This man was able to experience that because Jesus spoke. And these demons, Jesus didn't come starting trouble with them. These demons came to Jesus and called out to Jesus. But Jesus said the word, and these demons were destroyed. They were wiped out. They were cast out into these pigs. Now, let me be very clear to you this morning. I believe and understand the scriptures to teach that believers in Christ, those of us who have a relationship with Jesus, we cannot be possessed by a demon. What I mean by that is a demon cannot live inside of you, reign and rule and control over you, because Christ has that authority in your life and Christ is reigning and ruling in your life. So I believe somebody who doesn't know the Lord could be possessed by a demon. But I also believe that many of us are affected by the tactics and influence of the devil. That is to say that I believe the devil to be real. I believe to be his activities to be real, and I believe that we are affected by his influence. Even as believers, we can be led astray. We can be influenced by the devil. Now, that doesn't give us a free pass to say, well, the devil made me do that. We are accountable for our own actions. Even somebody that's not a believer who would allow Satan to work and rule and reign and work through their life, I would believe them to be accountable for their actions. And we've seen this happen throughout society. We've seen the devil work and reign and rule. And it just takes a foothold. It might just be one little step that we give him in our life. It might be one little influence by something we saw on TV. It might be one substance, one try of something that we've allowed to come into our life to allow God, or Satan, excuse me, to reign and to rule and to have control. It is so important for us to guard against that, and to allow the power of Jesus to destroy the enemy in our life. We must be so careful and so focused that we do not allow one inch to be granted over to the devil. So how do we do that? Excuse me. Kate B. Wilkinson in the late 1800s wrote a hymn or a prayer, if you will, and I think it describes it very simply. She said, may the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day. All I do and say, may the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour so that all may see I triumph only through his power. May the peace of God, my Father, rule my life in everything that I may be calm to comfort sick and sorrowing. I love that first line, may the mind of Christ, my Savior, live in me from day to day by his love and power controlling all I do and say. That's how we attack the attacks of Satan. G.K. Chesterton has said, when people cease to believe in God, they do not believe in nothing, they believe in anything. And so we allow this influence of the devil to affect us and to have this power and control over us. Notice the demons were not attacking Jesus.
They knew exactly who Jesus was. They bowed before him and they said, "Do not throw us into the abyss, our eternal resting place, so to speak. Send us into the pigs." It blows my mind, and it should be a statement to you and I, that demons are aware of who Jesus is immediately, but it takes us some time to figure out who he really is. It takes us some time to allow him to reign and rule and have authority in our life. But these demons immediately knew who he was and they feared him. If we would have the same reverence for who Jesus is and understand that he's the creator of the universe, understand that he is the ultimate judge, and understand that he is God in the flesh, that we would surrender to his authority in our lives as well. See, most of you are going to say, "Well, Pastor, this is a great message, but I am clothed this morning. I am not chained and living among the tombs in the graveyard." Listen, we have chains and bonds in our lives that most people can't see those chains and bonds. Some of us are struggling with a battle of lust and we're chained to it. Some of us are addicted to substances and it's a bondage that we're chained to. Some of us have hatred and anger towards others and it's festering in our lives. But only Jesus can destroy that evil. But not only can he destroy the evil in our lives, but number two, he has the power to deliver us from evil. To deliver us from this evil. Jesus had this power. He could restrain this man with the one sound of his voice that the chains could not do. No human restraint would work on this man that was possessed by the demons. But at the power of Jesus' voice, one word restrained these demons. And another word put them into these pigs that would wander off and destroy them. Now he says, "My name is Legion, for there are many among me." A legion was 6,000 soldiers in the Roman army. And so there were thousands, they believe, of demons that took control of this man. They were cast into this group of pigs. Now, when you think of a herd of pigs, you think of just a few pigs. But a herd of pigs in this day would be up to 2,000 pigs. Now remember, the Jewish audience, they wouldn't have anything to do with a pig because a pig was unclean. Some believe that casting this animal into the pigs was symbolic of the materialism and the hatred and the anti-God that was happening and taking place through the lives of the pigs. We don't know exactly because the scriptures don't tell us, but what we do know is that it was a great miracle that these demons left this man at the word of Jesus. And before we get too caught up in these pigs and what happened to the pigs and this sight of the pigs falling off the cliff, that wasn't the real miracle in the story. Now, I believe some people ask, why these harmless, innocent little pigs? Well, Jesus is showing us that he has power over creation by calming the storm. He's showing us that he has power over evil by delivering this man from the demons. He also has power over creation by casting these demons into these pigs. But it also brought a stir. It brought attention to Jesus and his power over evil. Many people came to see what had happened. Many people came to see the pigs floating and the dead bodies of the pigs. Many people came to see the man who had this demon that was now delivered from him. I'm still amazed and blown away at the transforming power of Jesus. Think about what they saw. This man was clothed and in his right mind sitting at the feet of Jesus. The very man that they feared, that they frightened about their kids over, that they were tormented by day after day and night after night. The greatest miracle was this man was sitting there in his right mind and his right clothes, transformed by the power of Jesus. Oh, Jesus has the power to deliver, and we too can experience that. That's the beauty of the church to me. I wish I had time this morning to go one by one and point to every one of you that I know and know your story, and share how God has delivered you from the bondages of sin, to how God has delivered you from the things that you were once chained to. But listen, even as believers, God can deliver us from the things that still try to embondage us and try to chain us. For some of us, that's food where we seek comfort. For some of us, that's cars, a house, things, or stuff. For some of you, it's sports. For some of you, social media. But listen, knowing Christ and knowing that he can deliver us from anything, there's really nothing for us to fear, is there? And that leads me to my third point this morning, that Christ has the power over fear. Now, there's two aspects to the fear, and when you think of Christ, the first would be a healthy aspect. The Bible says the beginning of wisdom is to fear God and his holiness and his respect and who he is. That's a good fear when you understand who God is and you're in awe of who he is and you're fearful of his wrath and his judgment. That's a healthy respect. But the fear that we see here in this passage is these people saw this man experience the greatest miracle, life change. Saw the demons cast out. Saw this man in his right mind. But yet the Bible says that the people were in great fear. Verse 37 says, to depart from them, they asked Jesus to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. They were afraid. They saw this man sitting in his right mind instead of roaming around wildly and angrily. They saw him clothed instead of naked. They saw him having a right mind rather than being a maniac and pouring out and chasing and going crazy. With one word, Jesus brought an end to Satan's work in his life. With one word, the terror was gone from the community. With one word, this man was rational, controlled, at peace, and in communion with God. I wonder why some of these people wanted to depart, or Jesus to depart from them. And I wonder if some of us don't truly want to experience the power and the work of God in our lives, if we're fearful of it. Here's what I mean by that. Some of us put it off. We don't want to experience what God's able to do, maybe because we're afraid of what it means we have to give up. Maybe we don't want to give up our lifestyle. Maybe we don't want to give up the things that we're living for. Maybe we don't want to give up our drinking and our substances to bring momentary comfort. Maybe we don't want to change the way we eat and the way we exercise because that controls us and it brings comfort to us. But listen, when you allow Jesus into your life, it's not so much what you have to give up, but it's what you get. You get a God that will reign and rule in your life, and you never have to fear anything again. Even the things that is greatest here on earth and are powerful are nothing compared to the eyes of God. My kids have always been around the pool, and I did that for a lot of reasons. When Rachel was 6 months old, I was dropping her in the water, seeing what she could do, see if she'd float. And she didn't. But I'd grab her and pick her right back up. She's turned out pretty good. She might need counseling one day for that later in life, but right now, everything's good. But they developed a love for water from day one. They'd swim. But each one of them, Rachel, Cameron, Leilani, Drew went through it a little bit this summer. They had this fear of the water. They were scared to death. And they could swim. We got them where they could swim, but you put them in there without the swimmies or without somebody holding them, and they would panic, and they would scream, and they'd be terrorized by the water. Until that moment happens and takes place when they can finally swim on their own. They can jump in the water. They can swim to the side. Then they realize how enjoyable and how fun it is to swim in a pool. And you go from trying to fight to get them into the pool to now you have to fight to get them out of the pool. And what happens to us when we allow fear to paralyze us, it limits us from experiencing all the wonderful things that Christ has for us. We're so afraid of what might happen. But listen, when you have Christ, even cancer is nothing to be afraid of. Because you believe death is not the end, but it's the beginning. Even failure in your career is nothing to fear. Because you believe you belong to Christ and all he has is yours and you're going to inherit it one day. So think about this with me. In one word, we see that Jesus has power over all evil. We were cursed, as Adam and Eve were cursed in the garden, with death. But Jesus has victory over the grave. Romans chapter 8 tells us there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Not height, not depth, not angel, nor demons, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. There is nothing that this world has to offer. There's no pain, no tragedy, no sickness, no death that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So there is nothing we should fear when we belong to Jesus. Is it still sad? Yes. Does this still hurt? Yes. Is this still painful? Absolutely. But you have Christ with you to overcome those fears. You have Christ with you to conquer those things. Romans chapter 8 also tells us that God works together all things for the good for those who love him according to his purposes, not ours, but according to his purposes. See, this story, I know the kids learned this in G-Force. This story tells us some really good things about who Jesus is and what he's done for us. It tells us that Jesus fulfilled the promises in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when God promised us that Satan, the devil, he would be crushed by the heel of one of Adam's descendants. And Jesus, through his death on the cross, through his paying the payment of sin on the cross, and through his resurrection, has stomped the head of Satan. And even us as believers, though Satan is real and has power and control in this world, he is nothing for you and I to fear when we're under the shield of Christ and who he is and what he's done. You see, Christ has destroyed the devil on the cross, and one day he will destroy evil for good. That's the hope that we have. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 21 that one day God will do away with all disease, death, and sickness, and he's going to wipe the tears away from our eyes. That means if you've gone through something sad and you're in Christ, it's going to be undone. I can't help but thinking of people in this church that have gone through loss, have gone through death, and gone through tragedy. But the hope is, because of Christ and your loved ones that are in Christ and you being in Christ, that all the evil things that have happened to you already in this life will be undone. That's the hope that we have in Christ. That's why it's so important for us to surrender to the authority of Jesus and allow him to reign and rule in our lives. Because there is the enemy that seeks to devour and destroy us, and he wants to reign and rule and have control in your life too. But you squelch the devil and his authority when you have Jesus reigning and ruling in your life. Some of you have been left to pick up the pieces. Demons, the devil. One of the signs is how self-destructive throughout the scriptures. This man was hurting himself, inflicting pain on himself. Controlled by demons, wasn't in his right mind. Many of you have experienced and seen people who've been controlled and influenced by substances or depression. And the answer and the hope, the ultimate hope, is found in Christ to be set free from those things that seek to destroy us. Satan is the author and perfecter of death, but Jesus is the author and perfecter of life. And he wants to give you and I life in and through a relationship with him. Let's pray together. Father, we bow before you this morning and we thank you for this passage of scripture. Lord, it's moments like this where we could experience and think about how bad some of us have it. But Lord, really, it's a time to proclaim and to think about how good we have it, knowing that we worship and love a Savior who has the power over evil, who is going to destroy evil, deliver us from evil, and help us overcome the fear of evil. So, Lord, we pray that we would find strength and wisdom through your Son, Jesus. Lord, I pray for anybody here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that, Father, that they'd be convicted of their sin, that they'd be aware of the realness of the devil and demons that seek to destroy and to lead them astray from you. But, Father, that they would return back and walk into a relationship with you the way you desired and created us to be. So, Father, we love you and we thank you for this time this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.